12 sons who will become the 12 tribes of Israel around him. He said, I'm about to be gathered to my people, meaning he knows he's about to die. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite, the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan. He's saying, don't bury me here among the pyramids and with the pharaohs. I don't want to end up on the History Channel. I just take me back to Israel. I don't want to be part of some documentary, you know, Lost Cities or the Underworld of Egypt. Take me back and bury me in my family plot, because Israel and Canaan is the promised land, not Egypt. He says, Abraham bought that burial place from Ephron along with the field, and Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried there. He goes, I want to be buried next to my grandparents. There Isaac and his wife were buried. He goes, bury me next to my parents. And this next phrase I once heard in college, and it changed the rest of my life. Part of why I'm doing what I'm doing is the day I sat and heard a speaker say this, and there I buried Leah. There I buried Leah. He's saying, I want to be buried not next to Rachel. Bury me next to Leah. For all time, I want to be with Leah, not Rachel. Wow. Wow, there's been a change of heart here, hasn't there? He's now saying that he wants to be laid to rest next to the woman that he never should have married. The field and the cave in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob had finished these instructions, he drew his feet up into his bed, he breathed his last, and he was gathered to his people. He dies. And his last words are Leah. Leah, Leah. Well, you might say, well, maybe he did soften his heart toward Leah as his life went on, but still, what was the point of their marriage? Well, remember son number 4, Judah, where she starts praising God instead of complaining? Judah has ancestors that become the royal kings of Israel, and they include two men called David and Solomon. Did you know they were born to Jacob and Leah, not Jacob and Rachel? Judah comes from Leah, not from Rachel. And if you fast forward to the Gospels of Matthew and Luke in the genealogies, you discover that Mary and Joseph are of the house and lineage of David, which means they go back to who? To Leah and to Jacob. And so, through Mary, the Savior of the world is born. God gave us our Savior through Jacob and Leah, not Jacob and Rachel. And it is not too much, it's not going too far and bending Scripture like a Gumby, to say that part of the reason that you and I will be in heaven when we are in heaven, and that the plan of salvation that's worked in our lives will be in effect, was because Jacob and Leah stayed together. And from the children born to them, we were given a Savior. Next Christmas, when you're enjoying all the festivities and the gifts and the music and whatever, stop and say, thank you, Lord, for this season and that Jacob and Leah stayed together, instead of calling it quits. Because you had a plan. And that plan looked down the millennia and looked down the centuries. And your plan was to give a Savior to the world. Remember the woman who stands up at Oprah and says, maybe God has a plan for you two staying together? Maybe you shouldn't quit. Maybe you shouldn't throw in the towel right now. She was right. Because their marriage leads to, ultimately, the birth of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's the Father, but Mary, the human mother, the son of David, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob and Leah. So, can you trust that God has a plan for your marriage? Could be much bigger than you ever thought. Could reach far beyond what you've ever thought it might reach. It could have implications you've never, ever imagined. If you keep your vows, they'll keep you. Well, I'm going to finish with just a couple of answers to these questions, and we'll be out of here. Do you know of marriage counselors in this area? My advice for that would be to go to caringfortheheart.com. They do have some regional offices, and the marriage counseling is free. You might have to travel some distance to get to it, but they generally tend to do it for 3 to 5 days intensively rather than seeing people for months. They'll have you come for just 3 or 4 days, and usually in that period of time, working with your heart, they can see things happen. So caringfortheheart.com, click on counseling resources or counselors, and they have some places around the United States that you can go to. I know in Illinois, you can go to the Quad Cities, to Davenport, Illinois, or Moline, that area near Iowa, what they call the Quad Cities. Janine and Wayne Allen have a beautiful ministry, along with John Regeer, who's in Colorado Springs. But I would really, you know, rather than going to a counselor every week for 6 weeks or 6 months, I would really take the time and go for 5 days or 4 days and see these wonderful people at Caring for the Heart. More could be done in that period of time than maybe months elsewhere. I'm not against long-term counseling, but I think a short-term concentrated kind of jump start could really be so important. Can we pray for those who have problems with their marriage? We'll do that as we close here. Thank you. That's a wonderful suggestion. Do you think that the world is teaching our young women that sexual freedom and activity is the way of happiness more than it today than in the past? And if so, what effect do you think it's having on the future of marriage? Well, I believe marriage, even as an institution, is under serious attack. More and more people are just skipping marriage and just starting families and moving in and living. I mean, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, they're becoming sort of the model for society, where you just have kids and you just don't get married. In the Scandinavian countries today, in Europe, only 20% of people are married. And so marriage, as we see it in our culture today, could be dying. It's under serious assault. They're redefining it as between two men and two women, and it's just never been so under attack. And you, each of you, the integrity of your marriage and the witness has never been more important, never been more important. People can try experimenting with things, but in the end, it's not going to work. Marrying our most difficult parent, what does that look like? What do you mean? What I mean is if you had a parent that was controlling or detached or judgmental or hypocritical, you'll probably be attracted to a mate that mirrors those same qualities. You're sort of drawn to it in a, maybe a sense of trying to fix your past or whatever, but you're comfortable with this. It's what you grew up with. It's what you know, and so you're drawn to it, and they may be drawn to the dysfunction that was in their home that they see in you. Not at all fatal. It may just be helping to understand why you two step on each other's pain so much, but you can get past that. You can both have your hearts healed. You can both have them softened. You can have God do a new work, and you won't be stepping on that pain anymore. And it won't be like being married to a difficult parent with those same traits. There really will be freedom. And what if your love language is balanced as much on male attitudes? Get it fixed along with emotional communication. You know, there are people that have different, I give you that list, and every time I get asked this, thank you, it is possible for some of those needs to be switched, that sometimes it is the woman who has, you know, a greater need for companionship and a husband who has a need for more communication or affection. There's nothing wrong with that. The point would be that you love the person according to what their needs are, that you accept them, and if their love language is this or that, you learn to speak it, and you learn to offer them that. And if it's different, that's okay. I gave you generalities today. There's exceptions. But the Bible basically teaches us that love is such that it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not boastful. We simply look at our spouse, and if they say, this is what I need from you, then we try and do all that we can to meet that need, even if it's different than what typically is the case. I don't think there's anything terribly wrong with that. It just means that's how you're particularly wired. Well, thank you very much, Pastor. We're going to get out of here and let people go home, have some of the afternoon. Tell you, if you'd like one of these stress balls, stress hearts, take one with you. We'd love to have you take something with you. If you'd like any of those books or some you've seen up here,